Chapter 8. Time Waits for No Man. From Upstream, Downstream, unpublished, by Colonel Next, QTCG, non-existent. Spec Ops 12 is the Chronoguard, the governmental department dealing with temporal stability. It is their job to maintain the integrity of the Standard History Event Line, SHE, and police the time stream against any unauthorized changes or usage. Their most brilliant work is never noticed, as changes in the past always seem to have been that way. It is not unusual in any one Chronoguard work shift for history to flex dramatically before settling back down to the SHE. Planet-destroying cataclysms generally happen twice a week, but are carefully rerouted by skilled Chronoguard operatives. The citizenry never notice a thing, which is just as well, really. I wasn't done with Spec Ops yet. I still needed to figure out what my father had told me on our first meeting. Finding a time traveller can be fraught with difficulties. But since I passed the Chronoguard office at almost exactly 3 hours from our last meeting, it seemed the obvious place to look. I knocked at their door and, hearing no answer, walked in. When I was last working at Spec Ops, we rarely heard anything from the mildly eccentric members of the time-travelling elite. But when you work in the time business, you don't waste it by nattering. It's much too precious. My father always argued that time was far and away the most valuable commodity we had, and that temporal profligacy should be a criminal offence, which kind of makes watching Celebrity Kidney Swap or reading Daphne Farquhar novels a crime straight away. The room was empty, and from appearances had been so for a number of years. Although that's what it looked like when I first peered in. A second later, some painters were decorating it for the first time. The second after that, it was derelict. Then full, then empty again. It continued like this as I watched, the room jumping to various different stages in its history, but never lingering for more than a few seconds on any one particular time. The Chronoguard operatives were merely smears of light that moved and whirled about, momentarily visible to me as they jumped from past to future and future to past. If I had been a trained member of the Chronoguard, perhaps I could have made more sense of it, but I wasn't, and couldn't. There was one piece of furniture that remained unchanged, whilst all about raced, moved, and blurred in a never-ending jumble. It was a small table with an old candlestick telephone upon it. I stepped into the room and lifted the receiver. "Hello?" "Hello," said a pre-recorded voice. "You're through to the Swindon Chronoguard. To assist with your inquiry, we have a number of choices. If you have been a victim of temporal flexation, press 1. If you wish to report a temporal anomaly, press 2. If you feel you might have been involved in a time crime..." It gave me several more choices, but nothing that told me how to contact my father. Finally, at the end of the long list, it gave me the option for meeting an operative, so I chose that. In an instant, the blurred movement in the room stopped, and everything fell into place, but with furniture and fittings more suited to the 60s. There was an agent sitting at the desk, a tall and undeniably handsome man in the blue uniform of the Chronoguard, emblazoned at the shoulder with pips of a captain. As he himself had predicted, it was my father, 3 hours later and 3 hours younger. At first he didn't recognize me. "Hello, can I help you?" "It's me, Thursday." "Thursday?" he echoed, eyes wide open as he stood up. "My daughter, Thursday?" I nodded, and he moved closer. "My goodness," he exclaimed, scrutinizing me with great interest. "How wonderful to see you again. How long's it been? 6 centuries? 2 years, I told him, not wanting to confuse a confusing matter even further by mentioning our conversation this morning. "But why are you working for the Chronoguard again? I thought you went rogue." "Ah," he said, beckoning me closer and lowering his voice. "There was a change of administration, and they said they would look very closely at my grievances if I'd come and work for them at the Historical Preservation Corps. I had to take demotion, and I won't be reactualized until the paperwork is done. but it's working out quite well otherwise. Is your husband still eradicated?
I'm afraid so. Any chance?
He winced. I'd love to, sweet pea, but I've really got to watch my P's and Q's for a few decades.
Do you like the office?
I looked at the 60s decor in the tiny room. Bit small, isn't it? Oh, yes, my father grinned, clearly in an ebullient mood. And over 700 of us work here. Since we could not all be here at one time, we simply stretched the usage out across the time stream, like a long piece of elastic. He stretched his arms wide as if to demonstrate. We call it a timeshare. He rubbed his chin and looked around.
What's the time out there?
It's July 14th, 1988.
There's a stroke of good fortune, he said, lowering his voice still further. It's a good job you've turned up. They've blamed me for the 1864 war between Germany and Denmark.
Was it your fault?
No, it was that clot Bismarck, but it doesn't matter. They've transferred me to another division inside the Historical Preservation Corps for a second chance. My first assignment occurs in July 1988, so local knowledge right now is a godsend.
Have you heard of anyone named Yorick Kane?
He's Chancellor of England.
That figures.
Did St. Zivelkicks return tomorrow?
He might.
Okay, who won the Superhoop?
That's Saturday week, I explained. It hasn't happened yet.
Not strictly true, sweet pea. Everything that we do actually happened a long, long time ago, even this conversation.
The future is already there. The pioneers that ploughed the first furrows of history into virgin timeline died eons ago. All we do now is try and keep it pretty much the way it should be.
Have you heard of someone named Winston Churchill, by the way?
I thought for a moment.
He was an English statesman who seriously blotted his copybook in the Great War, then was run over by a cab and killed in 1932.
So, no one of any consequence?
Not really. Why?
No reason. Just a little pet theory of mine. Anyway, everything has already happened. If it hadn't, there'd be no need for people like me.
But things go wrong. In the normal course of events, time flies back and forth from the end of, and then until the beginning of, now, like a shuttle on a loom, weaving the threads of history together. If it encounters an obstacle, then it might just flex slightly, and no change will be noticed. But if that obstacle is big enough, and Kane is plenty big enough, believe me, then history will veer off at a tangent, and that's when we have to sort it out. I've been transferred to the Armageddon Avoidance Division, and we've got an apocalyptic disaster of life-extinguishing capability, level 3, heading your way.
There was a moment's silence.
Does your mother know you wear your hair this short?
Is it meant to happen?
Your hair?
No, the Armageddon.
Not at all. This one has an ultimate likelihood index rating of only 22%. Not very likely.
Nothing like that incident with the dream topping, then, I observed.
What incident?
Nothing.
Right. Well, since I'm on probation, sort of, they thought they'd start me on the small stuff.
I still don't understand.
It's simple, began my father. 2 days after the Superhoop, President Formby will die of natural causes. The following day, Yorick Kane proclaims himself dictator of England. 2 weeks after that, following the traditional suspension of the press and summary executions of former associates, Kane will declare war on Wales. 2 days after a prolonged tank battle on the Welsh marches, the United Clans of Scotland launch an attack on Berwick-upon-Tweed. In a fit of pique, Kane carpet bombs Glasgow, and the Swedish Empire enters on Scotland's side. Russia joins Kane after their colonial outpost of Fetla is sacked, and the war moves to mainland Europe. It soon escalates to an apocalyptic shootout between the African and American superpowers. In less than 3 months, the Earth will be nothing but a steaming radioactive cinder. Of course, he added, that is a worst-case scenario. It'll probably never happen. And if you and I do our jobs properly, it won't.
Can't you just kill Kane?
Not that easy. Time is the glue of the cosmos, sweet pea, and it has to be eased apart. You'd be surprised how strongly the historical timeline tends to look after despots. Why do you think dictators like Pol Pot, Bokassa and Idi Amin lived such long lives?
and people like Mozart, Jim Henson and Mother Teresa are plucked from us when relatively young.
I don't think Mother Teresa could be thought of as young.
On the contrary, she was meant to live until 128.
There was a pause.
Okay, Dad, so what's the plan?
Right. It's incredibly complex and also unbelievably simple. To stop Cain gaining power, we have to seriously disrupt his sponsor, the Goliath Corporation. Without them, his power is zero. To do that, we need to ensure that Swindon wins the Superhoop.
How is that going to work?
It's a causality thing. Small events have large consequences. You'll see.
No, I mean, how am I going to get Swindon to win? Apart from Kapok and Aubrey Jam, and perhaps Biffo Mandible, the players are, well, crap, not to put too fine a point on it, especially when you compare them to their Superhoop opponents, the Reading Whackers.
I'm sure you'll think of something, but keep an eye on Kapok. They'll try to get to him first. You'll have to do this on your own, Sweet Pea. I've got my own problems.
It seems Nelson's getting killed at the beginning of the Battle of Trafalgar wasn't French history revisionists after all. I talked to someone I know over at the Chrono Gendarmerie, and they thought it amusing that the revisionists should even attempt such a thing. Advanced time stream models with Napoleon as emperor of all of Europe bode very poorly for France. They're much better in the long run with things as they are meant to be.
So who is killing Nelson?
Well, it's Nelson himself. Don't ask me why. Now, what did you want to see me about?
I had to think carefully.
Well, nothing really. I met you 3 hours ago, and you said we'd spoken, so I came here to find you. So then I suppose I should ask you to figure out who's trying to kill me this morning, which you wouldn't have been able to do if I hadn't met you this morning. And I only met you this morning because I've just told you right now I might be assassinated.
Dad laughed.
It's a bit like having a tumble dryer in your head, Sweet Pea. Sometimes I don't know whether I'm thenning or nowing. But I'd better check this assassin out, just in case.
Yes, I said, more confused than ever.
I suppose you should.